Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our worship service this morning, singing together from 228, stanzas 1 and 3. Lord God of hosts, in mercy, my supplication hear. Almighty and all faithful, our Father's God, give ear. Our shield and great defender, no longer hide thy face, but look upon thy servant, anointed by thy grace. 228. We sing stanzas 1 and 3. Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the book of Exodus, chapter 14. But first we will hear the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mentioned to you Exodus chapter 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye camp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, and camping by the sea, beside Pihahiroth, before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Thus far.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and for his presence and help. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art that merciful and gracious Lord God of heaven and earth, long-suffering and patient, and thou hast spared us all in this past week, and we may again today, on thy day, a day that thou hast given us to come together to hear what thou hast to say unto us. Thou hast spared us. Thou hast kept us. And thou hast given that again we may listen to thy word. May it be listening to thy voice through thy word. Help then, Lord, to listen, help to speak, take away all the obstacles, take away all the hindrances, and give opening of thy word to proclaim it, but opening also of the dark and closed minds, of the spiritually deaf ears to hear thy voice, of the spiritually blind eyes to see who we are, to see who thou art and to see that only way of salvation. Oh, we beg thee, thou who art that almighty, sovereign, holy, majestic being in the heavens, thou who dwells in infinite purity and looketh upon the earth. Thou art looking upon us, each one individually, this morning. And thou seest our hearts. Thou knowest each one of us, how it is, how we have come together in thy house, whether we have come out of custom, or whether we have come with hunger, with thirst. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then for thy presence. And thou hast promised, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt be in the midst. Lord, come then with thy presence, with the power of the Holy Spirit. Break hard, stony hearts. Take away all the weapons of resistance and make willing in the day of thy power. May lost sinners become lost sinners. May lost sinners become guilty sinners. But oh, we beg thee that lost and guilty sinners also may be led by that same teaching of the Holy Spirit unto that only Savior. Oh, may he become so necessary. May he become so suitable and precious. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that in thy house today that there may be food, that there may be drink. Thou who art the bread of life, wilt thou feed poor, hungry, needy, lost sinners? And wilt thou give that through the preaching of thy precious word and the gospel, that there may be water for thirsty, perishing sinners? Lord, it's thy work. We look to thee then, and may it not only be with sighing and crying as beggars, unworthy beggars, before thy throne of grace, but wilt thou also give us that we may come before thee, believing that thou art a rewarder of them that diligently seek thee. Oh, we beg thee then for thy great name's sake, that thy kingdom may come. Oh, that thou would break down the kingdom of Satan, and that thy kingdom may come, that sinners may be born again also here in Cortland, that boys and girls may receive a new heart, that teenagers may be made spiritually alive, adults, older ones. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, work mightily and irresistibly. Do it for thy name's sake, Lord, and for our eternal welfare. We beg and ask thee, Lord, for thy great name's sake and for our eternal welfare. Lord, thy word is profitable for all things, and thou knowest the needs of every heart. Not only those who are dead that need to be made alive, but also those who have been made alive. Thou knowest how it is in their heart in this morning. Lord, thou knowest those who have sit in darkness, who have become so stuck, so many impossibilities, so impossible to ever be saved, so impossible to ever be received into favor with thee. All they see is mountains of sin, mountains of unbelief, the enemy pursuing the curse of the law, and they fear and feel and experience that they will only drown under the wrath of the Almighty God. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, wilt thou show them that only way, that only path that thou hast provided for wretched, miserable sinners through thy dear Son. Lord, as we consider a history of thy word of the Old Testament, oh, give them the opening to preach, to lift up thy dear Son, but also to explain the way the Lord leads a sinner unto that only Savior. Oh, we beg thee, give opening then, Lord, for thy glory and for our comfort. Take away all the obstacles and the hindrances in listening. Cast out that evil one who likes to whisper, who likes to pluck at that seed that is sown Oh, we beg thee that the seed that is sown today may land in well-prepared hearts by thy Spirit, by thy grace, and that there may be those fruits of godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance, but also that there may be that faith in thee, in thy Son. Oh, work mightily and irresistibly, O Holy Spirit, among us. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, have mercy upon us. We only deserve that thou would pass us by. But, oh, we pray, Lord, for thy name, for thy honor, for thy glory. And thou hast said in thy word, I do it not for thy name's sake, but for my name's sake. Oh, we pray then, have mercy upon us. Come among us and do wonders, Lord. Do above all that we can think and ask, and give a good hour in thy house, that we may go home humbled in the dust, bowing before thee and yet looking unto thee, from whom cometh all our help, all the help for our bodies, all the help for all the needs upon this earth, but especially for our never-dying soul. Lord, we beg thee then, give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach. Take away all the fear of man. Take away all the desire of the praise of man, and that we may be a voice crying in the wilderness, that we may be a sinful instrument in thy hand. Lord, we pray then, give much prayer, give opening. Lord, remember all those who are mourning, comfort them, widows, those who have lost a child, those who have lost other family members or a friend. Remember all the sick and afflicted, those who are going for tests, those who need surgery in the future, those who may be in the hospital. Oh, we ask thee, Lord, remember all those who have needs for the body and for the mind. Bless the means that may be used. And we pray, Lord, as these callings come unto us, not only through thy word, but also through the acts of thy providence, may we hear thy voice speaking, prepare to meet God. Oh, we beg thee, sanctify then all these callings, and by thy grace, by thy Holy Spirit, we may be prepared to meet thee. Oh, teach us those necessary lessons, and lead us and guide us by thy word and by thy Spirit. Lord, we ask thee today also that thou would bless wherever thy word may be proclaimed throughout the world. Help all thy servants whom thou hast called to preach law and gospel, death in Adam, and life in Christ. We beg thee, Lord, bless thy word, then also in all evangelism, in all mission efforts, locally, in prisons, but also, the Lord willing, among children from the neighborhood, that they also may hear thy precious word, and that thou would bless it. We pray, remember Jew and Gentile. We think especially of the people in Israel. Care for thy church there. Uphold them. And in all the afflictions and all the trials, may it be richly blessed. May it be to the conversion of many of the Jews, of thy beloved, for thy covenant's sake. But Lord, wilt thou bless also thy word throughout this world, wherever it may be proclaimed, also in Bolivia. Help the church workers there. Remember also Christian and his family who have moved there this past week. Care for him. Help them to learn the Spanish language. Remember thy servants in Bolivia. We think especially of Pastor Marco. Help him, Lord. Remember the elders, the deacons. Give them the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts, and that they may be used, that many Bolivians may become thy dear, beloved people through the preaching of the precious word, that they may hear the law of who they are, sin, but that they also may hear of the gospel of that precious name where sinners must be saved. But, oh, we beg thee, Lord, work also among us, in this congregation and in our denomination. We ask thee that thou would remember also, the Lord willing, in this week, when a group from among us that will go to visit Bolivia, care for them, guide them, lead them. And we pray that it may be blessing, especially may it be that young men may see the work, the mission work, and that they may be called by thee also to work in thy vineyard, to apply in the future as a church worker. Provide also, Lord, for a church worker in Peru. Lord, incline the heart of a man with thy grace and with the gifts necessary, but also to give the necessary gifts, that he may come forward and apply, and that there may be opening to accept, and that it may be in thy favor. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. We are unworthy, we are sinful, we are polluted people. But, oh, we beg thee, Lord, for thy great name's sake, come. Give a blessed hour together. Come with thy Holy Spirit. Rend the heavens and come down and break hearts and heal those who are broken with that precious gospel that is in thee through thy Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we deserve nothing because of all our sins, because of all our iniquities and transgressions, but we beg thee upon him who sits at thy right hand of thy dear Son, look upon us, hear us, answer us, and bless us. For Jesus' sake alone, amen. Congregation, let us now continue with singing from Psalter 240, the first four stanzas. Lord, the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance in thy mercy. Answer me. Full of troubles and affliction, nigh to death my soul is brought. Helpless, like one cast forever from thy care and from thy thought. 240, the first four stanzas, and the collections for this morning is the first for the church and the second for the school capital fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, we have just sung from Psalter 240, verse 2. Thou hast brought me down to darkness. Is that how you feel this morning? Is it darkness in your soul? Are you spiritually stuck? Absolutely all you see is impossibilities. Mountains on the left, mountains on the right, enemies behind, and a sea of God's wrath before you, seeking for God, but you cannot find Him. Do you understand what Job said in Job 23, verse 3? Oh, that I knew where I might find Him, that I might come even to His seat. And we read in verse 8, behold, I go forward, but He is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive Him. On the left hand, where He doth work, but I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on the right hand, that I cannot see Him. This is a little picture of the Israelites in Exodus chapter 14, and there's many spiritual lessons. The Israelites had just celebrated the Passover. They had the sacrament. They saw the mercy of God. They saw the glory of God. And they were led out of Egypt, delivered by God, on the way to the promised land. And they came to a place of absolute impossibilities just 1 week later. How is it with your soul this morning, my friend? Did you sit at the Lord's Supper last week and now impossible darkness? Or maybe you didn't have freedom. And maybe yet your soul stuck. All you see is absolute impossibilities. Well, may the Lord give poor needy souls this morning instruction from His word, from this history. May the Lord bless His word by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we will consider this history. And our text this morning is from Exodus 14, verse 15b. Exodus 14, verse 15b. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. The Israelites in this impossible situation receive a command. They receive a command from the Lord. And that's our theme this morning. Go forward. Go forward. Three thoughts. Go forward in a time of absolute impossibilities. We read in verse 3. They were entangled in the land. The wilderness had shut them in. They receive instruction, a command from the Almighty God in a place of absolute impossibility. Second, go forward in a path made by the Lord. And we read that in verse 21, in verse 22. And third, go forward in a way which glorifies the Lord. That will be the outcome. All to the glory of God. And so the theme, go forward in a time of impossibility, and a path made by the Lord, and in a way which will glorify God. Congregation, children, in our imagination, we see in Exodus 14 a very large group of people, possibly 2 million people. And if you came and entered into that camp and you came closer and you see a mixture of young and old, men and women, boys and girls, in that great, large multitude of people. But then if you come a little closer and you look at their faces, you see on their faces this people is not happy. This people are filled with fear. Why? We read in Exodus 14 verse 3, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness had shut them in. This means that the people become to a place of impossibilities. They become entangled. They become perplexed. They become absolutely confused. They're shut in. Who are these people? Listen, I hear someone speaking. One man, a leader of these people, he's speaking. And he says, go forward. Who is this man? Who are these people? This man, this leader, is Moses, the leader of the Israelites. God had called him to be their leader. And this great multitude is the Israelites, the people of God, the covenant people of God, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord promised them the promised land, the land that flowed with milk and honey, Canaan. Why are they here in a place of perplexity, of confusion, shut in, of absolute impossibility? Why are they not in Egypt? Why are they not in Canaan? Why are they here? Well, then we need to consider a little of the history to come to this point, especially for the children. I think you know this history. But we look back in Exodus, then we know that the descendants of Abraham, these people came, the descendants, they came into Egypt in a time when there was a famine. The Lord, in his mercy, provided food for them in Egypt. And they have been living there for 430 years. They were told that they would receive Canaan. But these people became so comfortable in Egypt. And so the Lord sent afflictions to wake them up, that they would long and hunger to be brought into the land of Canaan. And that's a little picture of you and me also. We're comfortable in this world, comfortably lost. And we don't seek that heavenly Canaan at all. But the God, the Almighty God, comes with his word and afflictions, acts of his promise to stir us up. And so this people began to cry for mercy to be delivered out of Egypt. And God sent Moses that he had to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. However, Pharaoh refused. He hardened his heart. He would not let that people go. And so the Lord sent 10 plagues. 10 plagues. And we know the history of the last plague, Exodus 12. The firstborn, all those who did not have blood on their doorpost, that angel of destruction came in and the firstborn died. They were without protection of the blood of the Lamb. And what was the result? Exactly as the Lord had promised. He promised that Pharaoh and all the Egyptians, after that mighty act of God, would beg, ask the Israelites to leave. We read this in Exodus 12, verse 31 and 32. And he called for Moses, that's Pharaoh, and Aaron by night, and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we be all dead men. And so the Israelites left loaded with gifts from the Egyptians. And they went to Succoth. From Egypt, they traveled to Succoth. And then they went south. And then they went east to Etham, as we read in Exodus 13, verse 20. But why are they now in this place, entangled, shut in? Why are in this place of a trap? Why are they in this place of human absolute impossibility? Did they go the wrong way? Did they go the wrong way, children? Did these Israelites take a turn and go their own way? Did they go a wrong way? No, they didn't. Is not the Lord leading them? Yes, he's leading them. How did they come to such a place of such a trap, of such perplexities, of such confusions? How do sinners come to such a place of being absolute impossible? The Lord led these Israelites exactly to this place. They're not lost. They did not go the wrong way. No. Why are they here in this place then? The Lord commanded the people of Israel exactly to this place. We read that in verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Phihahiroth between Migdol and the sea over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. The Lord said, turn. They were traveling east, going to go through the wilderness up to that promised land. And the Lord said, turn. He told them to turn, to go down to this exact place where he would bring them into an exact place of absolute impossibility. He didn't bring them along the Mediterranean route. He didn't bring them just directly across the desert. No, the Lord guided them down south, east, and then also to turn exactly to this place. The Almighty God brought his own covenant people to this exact place. These people are in the place of obedience unto God. Would the Lord bring his people to such places of impossibility? Has the Lord brought you, my friend, in your soul, in your experience, to a place of absolute impossibility? Is it absolute impossible for you and for your soul? The Lord does this. The Lord brought his people to this place. And now to insert, remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Mark 10, verse 27. With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. There's an important lesson here, congregation. We may be obeying the Lord, following him, no, not going before, following him, guided by him to an exact place, and yet come into absolute impossibilities, trials, and afflictions. Listen to what we read in 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. The Lord gives faith, and he tries faith. The Lord leads his people into a place of absolute impossibilities. And why? We will come to that. Are you in a place of impossibility? The Lord gives trials. He gives afflictions. And our hearts then have many questions. Because in those trials, in those afflictions, in those ways of crosses and impossibilities, then we see more what is in our wicked hearts. Because then out of our hearts comes questions that we think are not there. Out of it comes all these questions. And the Lord uses these trials to teach sinners of who they are before him. That's one lesson. To teach that they have no strength in themselves at all to ever deliver themselves. To teach them, to bring them to a place where they surrender wholeheartedly and completely. They give all the weapons of resistance or absolute taken away. Because without these impossibilities, we think we have a little something here. We think we have a little something there to help ourselves. What lessons we need, and what lessons God teaches his people in the school of grace. May I ask you a question? Are you in a place of impossibility, maybe in outward circumstances, but especially are you in a place of impossibilities of your soul? God has brought you to this very place for a lesson. Are you following the Master? Are you following God? Then wait upon him. Look to him. Wait upon him. But if you are in a place, I'm thinking of in this natural life, that you have not obeyed God and you're in a place of impossibility because you went your own way. You knew it was wrong. You felt a little prick, but you went that way on your own will. Then I must tell you, repent. But let's return to the camp of the Israelites. You see those people, entangled, perplexed. There's no way to go to the left, no way to go to the right, no way to go forward. And now they hear something behind them. Children, what do they hear? What do they see coming behind them? They see a great army. They hear chariots. Maybe they heard the neighing of the horses, the rattling of chariots. And they turn behind and they look and they see a great army coming behind them. And they become sore afraid. They begin to tremble. They become absolutely frightened. Exodus 14, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Pharaoh and his army is coming. His army. Pharaoh again has hardened his heart. He let them go. But again he hardened his heart. He wants his slaves back. He hardened his heart. And he does it again. He knows better, because he knows every time he hardened his heart, God sent a judgment upon him. But again, he hardens his heart. But if you look in the Word of God, you see something very interesting. For example, in verse 8, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. So it's not Pharaoh, it's the Lord. The Lord did this. Yes, Pharaoh hardened his heart, and God, in his sovereign power, hardened his heart to the man who hardened his heart. Why? Because God, that almighty sovereign being, will conquer his enemies for his honor, for his glory. But may I ask you something, young people, older ones, adults, are you hardening your heart? Do you feel a little prick, a little touch in your heart through the law, through the Word of God, but maybe also through the gospel, but you carry on in your life? You don't listen? Yes, it's the Lord pricking you, but you harden your heart? What do we read in the Word of God? Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Congregation, to harden your heart, feeling the conviction, and to go on persisting is a way of destruction. The Lord, He will conquer Pharaoh and all the enemies. Imagine being in such a place. Imagine being in a place where you see the sea in front of you, mountains that you cannot climb over on the left or the right, and there the enemy is behind you, pursuing you. But this is a real reality in the soul of sinners. Mountains of sin, mountains of unbelief. All they see before them is the sea of God's wrath. And behind them, the enemies pursue them. And they become in such a place of absolute impossibilities. Impossible to escape in their own strength. But for the Israelites here in this camp, it also became impossible to escape. What did they do? What did we read? They cried unto the Lord. Well, that's good. Do you have needs? Do you have troubles in your soul? Do you cry to God? Do you cry to God in all your cares and needs in your soul? We read in Exodus 14, verse 10, they cried unto the Lord. Who else can deliver such needy people? Do you cry, or do you not see it? Do you not see Mount Sinai trembling, the law, that you're guilty, that you're lost? Do you not feel the law pursuing you? The curse of the law, pay me what thou owest. Do you not hear God's just demand? He made you righteous, and you must be righteous, just, and that you're only worthy to be drowned in the wrath of God. But now we hear the Israelites. They cry. But they don't only cry for deliverance. They ask for something else instead. What do they complain? They begin to complain. They have a horrible complaint before God. Let's read that. Verse 11 and 12. And they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we would die in the wilderness. What unbelief, what wickedness, what evil. But that's a picture of your and my heart also. When things go well, when things go smooth, then we can say it's good. But when it turns against our flesh, when we come to places of impossibility, when things go against the way that we think it should go, against our thoughts, against our way, then we begin to complain. Then we begin to see our unbelief. Then we begin to see how our hearts can be so filled with rebellion against the very one who has cared for us in the past, but also children of God. When things come against you, then you learn again what your heart still is, flesh and rebellion and wickedness. And the Israelites, they only looked at the outward circumstances. They should have looked at so many other different things. What? And will come to you and me also. They should not only have looked at the outward circumstances, they should have thought upon God. That Almighty God who had sent those 10 plagues and who cared for them and brought them out of Egypt. Israelites, do you think the Lord with a powerful hand has led you out of Egypt only to allow you to be destroyed now by your enemy at such a place? Church of God, little lambs and sheep, do you think the Lord has delivered you out of the power of Satan, sin in the world? Although you feel so much flesh, do you think he's going to allow you now to be destroyed by that great enemy? Does he lead you out, only allow you to perish? Never. Israelites, the Lord has promised. He promised you such a rich promise in Exodus 6, verse 6 and 7. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt. And I will rid you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you for me for a people. And I will be to you a God. Has the Lord spoken to your soul a promise in the word of God that you knew he spoke to you? It was his voice. It was to your heart, to your soul, and you could believe it. And now it's all impossible. Read what we read. Listen to what we read in Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Israelites, remember the promise. Dear struggling sinners, church of God, little lambs and sheep, you have heard his voice through the word. He spoke to your soul a word of comfort. Will he leave you? Will he allow you to perish? Never. Thirdly, the Israelites, what are you carrying? Children, what are the Israelites carrying? They have a coffin. They have bones. The bones of Joseph. The bones of Joseph are preaching to the Israelites. Joseph said, and I say it in my own words, take with you my bones that I may be buried in the land of Canaan. No, not perish in this place, but that I may be buried in the promised land. Israelites, look to those bones. They're preaching to you the faithfulness of God to an unworthy people. Israelites, look up. Who's guiding them? What do they see in the sky from the very moment they left Egypt? They had a fire, a cloud of fire by the day, by the night, and a cloud by the day to guide them and lead them. Israelites, look up. That faithful God is leading you. Don't look at all the circumstances. Look up. Israel, look up and see the presence of that covenant God. Israel, look at those bones. Israel, listen to the word. Trust in that Almighty God. But let's look at us now. We can say those Israelites, they're so foolish. Why didn't they see those things? Why didn't they trust? How could they be so wicked and rebel against God, against all that goodness? But what about your heart? What about my heart? Do we only look at all the outward circumstances? Or do we also read the Word of God? Do we look up? Yes, do we look up every day, children? We see the sun, we see the moon, the faithfulness of God. But what else do we see many times in the sky when it rains and there's some sun? We see that beautiful rainbow, the faithfulness of God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have the full Word of God. He testifies who we are and who He is. We're sin, wretched, filthy, filled with iniquity and transgressions. And He's that faithful God who keeps His word. He said, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we died, dead in sins and trespasses. But He's also that same faithful God who proclaims the gospel that whosoever believes in my Son shall not perish but have everlasting life. But especially, where should we look? We should look in the Word of God. Listen to His voice. But where should we especially look? We should look to Him who calls us to look to Him. Who is that? That's that faithful Savior. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in Isaiah 45, verse 22, look unto me, you Israelites, in all the impossibilities, sinner, in all your impossibilities, in all your perplexities and confusion, He speaks this morning. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And so we see this large group in a place of impossibility. But what a difference in that group. We have Moses, who trusted in the Lord. He saw the same circumstances, but he trusted in the Lord. But many of those Israelites, and maybe not all of them, some maybe belong to Moses. We don't know, but we may believe so. But others, they only looked at the impossibilities, and they became rebellious. May I ask you, which one represents you this morning? Which one? And Church of God, little lambs and sheep. Yes, that's who they are, little lambs and sheep. We read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 and 9, we are troubled on every side. That's what Paul said, troubled on every side, and yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Is that you? Is that me? So many troubles, impossibilities. Can you say that? Can you say that? Do you look up above all those circumstances? Do you look up to Him? Or are you still looking within? In this place of absolute impossibilities, God gives a message. Go forward. Go forward. God makes a path. Our second thought. Listen. I hear Moses speaking. In Exodus 14, verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. Moses commands the people, please, people, I say my word, don't complain. Don't be so unbelieving. Don't be so rebellious. Don't be so wicked. Look to the Lord. Look to that covenant God. Has He not cared for us from this very moment unto now? Children of God, trust in the Lord in all the darkness, in all the confusion, in all the perplexities, in all the impossibilities. Oh, that's so impossible for our proud, wicked hearts just to completely surrender. Surrender everything and still to trust in His fatherly hand. He says, go forward in this time of absolute impossibility. But you say, I don't feel anything. I want to feel this and this and this. And I want to feel more and more and more. You say, I don't see anything. I don't see this and this and this. You have so many buts. But the Lord says, go forward. Moses said to the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Israelites, look up. Look to that Almighty God. He directs them to trust in God in the place of impossibilities. But the Lord, He gives a command. He gives a command to that people in that place of perplexity, impossibility. Go forward. What do these words literally mean? That means pack up. Pack all your tents. Be ready to travel. Go forward. March. Israel, go forward. March, go forward. But where? Climb the mountains? No. Go forward. Go straight to that place of the sea. Straight to that place that seems absolute impossible. No way to get to the land of Canaan. Go forward. Children, go forward. Was there a bridge that they could go over? No, there was no bridge. Was there a fleet of boats to take them safely to the other side? No, there was no boats. Do the Israelites see a nice wide path? No, they don't see anything. All they see is the sea where they will drown in. But the Lord commands, go forward. Go forward in obedience, trusting, resting upon Him that He will provide a way out of all the distresses, of all the perplexities, of all the impossibilities. What an impossibility for sinners, for wretched sinners who only have a heart of unbelief to listen, to obey, and to believe, not looking at that sea, that impassable sea that blocks them from that place to the promised land. All those sinners, they'd hear the trembling of the mountain of Mount Sinai and see all that unbelief and hear the enemy, and they see that sea. Is there a path? Is there a way to that promised land? Is there a way to be reconciled with God? Maybe they can't sleep at night. All sin, iniquity, and transgressions. Is there a way for me and my children to be delivered, to be reconciled with God? And He gives a command, go forward. Go forward, trusting in His almighty power that He will make a path, that He has a path. And then we need to lose everything from self to only trust in Him. Let's go back to that camp for a minute. The Israelites. It's stopped. It's quiet. No more complaining. No more wickedness. Their mouths are closed. Something's happening. What's happening, congregation? What's happening, children? The cloud. That cloud comes before the Israelites and goes to the back of their camp and goes between them and the Egyptians. It goes, it moves. Darkness to the Egyptians, as we read, light to the Israelites. But something else I missed in the first part of that text, in verse 19, and the angel of God which went before the camp of the Israel went behind them. The angel of God, Jesus Christ in His pre-incarnate state before He came in the flesh. He moves. He puts Himself right between that covenant people and all the enemies. Moses said, see. See the salvation of God. See that angel. See that faithful God. See that one who cares for His people. And that enemy will never ever touch His beloved people. And all the impossibilities. And all the perplexities. And all the unworthiness. Remember what Paul wrote in Romans 8 verse 31? If God be for us, who can be against us? None. Not Pharaoh. Not that greater Pharaoh, Satan. Not the curse of the law. Nothing. Because if God is for us, nothing can be against us. But if God is against you, then, my friend, you are absolutely lost. Moses was instructed to take his rod, that crooked, unworthy, little, insignificant rod, in verse 16. And now he goes. See Moses. He's walking to the water, and he stretches out his rod over the Red Sea, and the wind began to blow, and a dry path was made through the Red Sea. That almighty covenant faithful Jehovah makes a path. He makes a dry path. No, not a path where they will become stuck and can't go forward. No, He makes a dry path. He makes a wide path. He makes a good path through the sea of His wrath. A way to be out of all soul distresses, all impossibilities. He makes a path. And the Israelites are commanded, go forward, go forward. And so we see the Israelites walking to the sea, going forward, coming to the edge. And maybe they stood there, I don't know. Could you imagine being with them? Looking to the left, looking to the right, and they see those walls of water. Would you not tremble? Would you not tremble? Will those waters stay? Will those walls stay? Or will I perish in the middle of the path? Would you tremble? Did they tremble? We know they went into that path. The path that God had made. Did those walls come down, children, teenagers, adults? Did those walls come rushing down upon that people? That would have been worthy for all their unbelief and complaining. But they stood firm. They stood firm. They could walk through the sea of God's wrath. The Israelites obeyed in faith. They obeyed in faith. Yes, we read that in Hebrews 11, verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as dry land. The Lord, He made a path for such unworthy sinners. My friend, are you only looking to those mountains? Are you only looking behind? Do you only see forward impossibilities? How can it ever be for me? Oh, that the Lord may open your eyes this morning through the word of God. No, not that you would see the Red Sea, but that you would see that path that God has made. What's troubling your soul this morning? All kinds of things of this life. Listen to what the Lord says. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust. Oh, that's such an impossibility. But when the Lord gives it, then you can do nothing but trust. Then you will not lean on your own understanding, your own ways anymore. It's all gone. But then, you want him to lead you in those paths that he gives through the Red Sea of his wrath. My friend, is it absolute impossible for your soul to ever be saved? How long have you been sitting in this place of absolute impossibility? How long? Has it been years? Has it been 20 years? Absolutely impossible? Do you think that's who God is? You have a command this morning. Go forward. Go forward in the path. What do you mean, Pastor? Look to him. Look to him who is the path. Look to him who calls, look unto me and be ye saved. You need to look away from self. You look to him. To him. And Thomas Watson said, all the blessings of God flow to us through the Red Sea of Christ's blood. Oh, wretched sinner, my prayer is that this morning you may begin to see no path in self, impossible, but that path that God has made through the impossible, through his own dear Son. Go forward, congregation. Go forward, troubled sinner, looking in that path, looking for that path, finding the path by God's mercy and grace, and walking in that path, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because without him, then you will also end as Pharaoh. But in him, you will be led through to that land, through to the promised land. No, you cannot just sit there in your impossibilities. You need to go forward. You need to go through that path, trusting in that Almighty God in what he has provided, and beg him, Lord, I'm so stuck. And you know what happens after a while? We actually, some like to be stuck. They just love all the misery. But that's not how God leads. He teaches of the misery to lead to that path through Jesus Christ, that they would be delivered. Why? Our third thought, that they would glory only in him. But let us first sing now, Psalter 151. stanzas 1, 3, and 5 standing. Psalter 153, 151, 1, 3, and 5. O God, be merciful to me, for man with constant hate would fain my ruin see. My many enemies against me proudly fight. To overwhelm my soul they watch from morn to night. 151, 1, 3, and 5.
Thank you.
go forward in a time of absolutely impossibilities. Go forward in a path that God has made. And this will all be to the glory of God. That's what it's all about. There's one purpose why the Lord works in the ways of absolute impossibilities, so that no flesh would ever glory in His presence. That we lose everything. That we not only become lost, that we are lost. That we become absolutely ungodly. That we do not qualify with our misery. We do not qualify with anything. We're just lost. It is for the glory of His great name. The Lord will be glorified over Pharaoh and all his enemies. I will have honor over the enemy. The purpose is that the enemies of God would take note that there is only one God, not the gods of Egypt, not the gods of this world, not the gods of our own making, but only one God, the Almighty Jehovah, and that his people would trust in Him. That His people would live dependent upon Him. That His people would surrender again and again and again. And that they would only rely upon His grace. And that His grace is sufficient for every moment of their life. That they live close to Him, dependent upon Him, following Him and Him alone. So it's for the glory of God and for the comfort of His dear people. It's together. But let's go back to the camp of the Israelites. We see them going through the Red Sea, through that path, the good path made by God, the Almighty One. And they're all coming to the other side. Everyone, every senior, every adult, every child, every baby, everyone is brought through the other side. And now the Egyptians come. They see the cloud has been lifted, possibly. They look forward. Now we'll get them. Now we'll capture them. Now we'll have them. Now we'll bring them home, or they will utterly perish. We will slay them all. And so they come, they look, but they're gone. All the Israelites are gone. Where they go, they see that path. And the Egyptians go into that very path that God has made for His people. Those rebellious, unrepentant, wicked people go into the Red Sea, as we read in verse 23, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And this word means every single one of them. The entire army is in that path in the Red Sea. And what happens? What happens? That Almighty God, who cares for His beloved, looks out of that cloud. He looks out. He looked upon them. We read in Psalm 104, verse 32, He looketh on the earth and it trembleth. He touches the hills and they smoke. The Lord looked upon these enemies that wanted to touch His people. And He looked. What a look that must have been. And what it caused confusion. Absolute confusion. They tried to escape. The wheels came off. They became stuck. Now they feel it. Now Pharaoh feels it. Need to flee from the wrath of God. But it's too late. Too late. Absolutely too late. And now the Lord commands Moses to stretch out his rod again. And then you see those walls of water. They come flowing down over the enemies. And Pharaoh and his host is drowned in the Red Sea. And we read in verse 28, there remaineth not so much as one of them. The entire army, all the enemies are gone. The Israelites are on dry ground on the other side, and they can look back. They can see the death of all their enemies. They are delivered by that almighty hand of God. They are delivered by trusting, not by going by reasoning anymore, but by trusting, obeying in faith in that path, in that only path the Lord had made. dear congregation, the entire purpose of Exodus 14 is to come to Exodus 15. And we read in those first verses, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him." So the whole purpose is to come to the glory of God and the deliverance of his people. All the impossibilities need to be experienced so that those people would be stripped of everything. That the only way they could say that they're safe on that shore is because the Lord hath done it. And that's what the Lord teaches. That's those spiritual lessons. He teaches of the mystery of who we are to lead them to Christ. The law is a schoolmaster to be delivered, not with something of self and Christ. No, completely, entirely, only in Jesus Christ, that full and complete salvation. No praise to Moses. No praise to the Israelites. No praise to any man. But all will only be for the glory of God and him alone. That people, they learn, they must be delivered. But it becomes so impossible. They must be delivered from their sin, from their flesh, from their iniquities. But it becomes so impossible. How? How? How can I be delivered? They must be delivered from all their enemies, from Satan, from all his assaults, from the curse of the law. But how? How? They must be forgiven. They must be cleansed. They must be made pure, because God is too pure of eyes to look upon sin. But how? And it comes absolute impossible in their soul. What reason? For the glory of God. That would only glory in the path. That they would only glory in his son, Jesus Christ. That he becomes everything. That he becomes their entire life. That without him, they can do nothing. They need him for everything. Every day. For their soul. For that way to be reconciled back to God. That those arms could be opened. That were closed because of sin. It's all and only through him. Struggling burden. Poor, needy sinner, with all your absolute impossibilities, are you only looking at those mountains? Are you trying to climb those mountains? Stop. Go forward. Go forward. Are you only looking at all the enemies, looking back, listening to Satan, listening to the curse of law? Is that all you're listening to, only to that? Go forward. Listen to the word of God. Listen to the precious gospel in Jesus Christ. Are you only looking forward and see all that impassable sea of the wrath of God? And has it become so absolute impossible? Go forward. Go forward, listening to that precious word, that word of the gospel, that in my son is a path. That path that's made. Not that his wrath is completely skipped over. No, his wrath is pacified. Pacified, appeased, satisfied in his son. Moses struck out his rod, and there was a path. May I say it this way? God the Father struck out the rod, the sword of his justice upon his son, and through that wrath poured on his son, all the wrath was satisfied, and a path was made. That sinners can be brought back to the very heart of God. No more. They can become sons and daughters of God. That they can come to enjoy sweet communion. Have you never tasted any sweet communion? Are you only stuck in all impossibilities? Or has it in the past you tasted something of the sweetness and now it's all impossible? Oh, then to listen to his voice. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Congregation, seek it. Seek it all through the path. May the Lord bring you, yes, bring you to an impossibility. It's good. It's the way the Lord leads, so that we lose everything, that he becomes everything for a wretched sinner. What wonders of God's grace. The Israelites sang They sang on that shore, and there's coming another people, and they're going to sing safe on the shore in that heavenly Canaan. And are they going to sing about self? No. They're going to sing about Him. Him who was the path. They're going to sing about the Lamb. They're going to sing about God's great salvation, as we read in Revelation 15, verse 3. And they shall sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are all thy ways, thou King of saints. May I ask you two questions, and I want to leave you with that. Will you be singing? Will you be singing with that people, redeemed by the Lamb, redeemed by the grace that He has taught you who you are, brought you through that path, and brought you to the heavenly Canaan? Will you be singing? Or, may I say it this way, will you be drowned forever under the wrath of God? It's two ways, congregation. It will be entering into that heavenly Canaan, and all the glory will forever be to Him, and eternity will be too short to sing praises that He who is the Redeemer. Or you will forever cast away, drowning and never drowned, forever under wrath. Seek the Lord. Will you hear His voice? Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, Thou hast helped and delivered this people, this unworthy people, through a path, an impossible path. And Thou wilt also lead unworthy, wretched, wicked, unbelieving, rebellious sinners through that same path. Oh, we beg Thee, Lord, for the glory of Thy name, that Thou would remember those poor sinners who are so stuck, so impossible. Oh, that Thou would lead them to that path. Take them by heart and by hand and lead them and take them through that path. And then it will be all to the glory of Thy most holy and worthy and precious name. Lord, we ask Thee then to keep us in this afternoon. Bring us again tonight into Thy house. Lord, Thou hast helped through. All the glory be to Thy name. We ask in the forgiveness of our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 2:11. Psalter 2:11, stanzas 1 and 3. O God, most holy are Thy ways. Who like Thee deserves my praise? Thou only doest wondrous things. The whole wide world Thy glory sings. Thy outstretched arm Thy people save, though sore distressed and long enslaved. 2:11, 1 and 3. Thank you. congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.